We have all, at some point in time, and with the weather changing, it's probably going to happen for some of you even sooner than later, but you've all sat around a nice fire, you know, watching the flames. Maybe you put a hot dog on a stick, or maybe a marshmallow. Maybe a marshmallow comes up in flames and it becomes part of the fire. You know, and you watch the logs burn, and you know, the logs start to burn down. They turn to ashes and hot coals. And at some point, someone like Greg Cooper throws a couple more logs on the fire to keep the fire going. And the flames come back up again, and the fire gets nice and large again and builds up. And you know, that's something that's common to all of us. I think everybody sat around a nice fire at some point in time and just passing conversation. Nothing unusual to be there and watch the logs be consumed and need to add some more. But listen to this passage in Exodus about a fire that didn't consume. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The word of God for the people of God. You know, in this passage, Moses sees this fire up on the mountain, and it doesn't tell us how long he had been watching the fire. You know, I assume that, you know, as he's tending the sheep and he sees the fire up on the mountain, that's, you're thinking one of two things, you know, that keeping an eye on it to see, is this going to become a wildfire that he might need to take the sheep away from, or are there maybe some other enemies or somebody encamped up near there? But he sees this fire, but then, you know, as he's watching it, he starts to notice this fire's different than other fires. The flames always seem to stay the same. They don't die down. They don't rise up. They're just always there. And it's, you know, if it was a bush that was on fire, the flames would start to dry, fall down, and the fire would get smaller and turn to hot coals. And he realizes that this fire is not acting like a normal fire. The bush that was burning was not being consumed, and the flame didn't seem to diminish or grow in size. And that gets Moses curious. Curious enough that he turns aside from just tending the sheep to go see why the bush is burning but not being consumed. You know, God will often use ordinary things that aren't behaving in the common, ordinary way to get your attention. He'll often use things that are common or ordinary to you, but they're not behaving or acting like you know them to behave in the ordinary way, to get your attention. So when something that behaves outside of your normal understanding, many times God is trying to say something to you. God seeks out his people, and he speaks to his people much like someone that's lost a pet is out seeking their pet. They're out walking, looking, and they're calling, and they're looking for a way to bring the pet back. God speaks out to his people and searches. But he often does it in ways that are unusual. If you remember Samuel when he was a young boy, in the third chapter of 1 Samuel, he's in the temple and he's sleeping at night. He lays down to sleep and he hears God speak, says, Samuel! And he hears that voice and he gets up and he runs to where Eli was sleeping, the priest, and he says, I'm here, you called me. And he's like, I didn't call you, you know. You woke me up, why are you bothering me? Go lay down, I didn't call you. You know, I'm thinking right now, it's like, our dogs will climb up on the bed and stomp on me and wake me up in the middle of the night. You know, and it's like, I'm sure Eli was kind of like, I didn't call you. I got to go back to sleep. And Eli just gets back to sleep, and Samuel's laying down. He hears a voice said, "Samuel." So he gets up and goes over, and he bothers Eli again. And Eli, "I didn't call you. Go lay down." Samuel lays down. He hears, "Samuel." So he gets up third time. He's like, "Why does he keep doing this?" And he runs over and he says, "Eli, you called me." And he said, "I didn't call you." But Eli realizes something unusual is happening. And he says, "I think God is trying to talk to you. Next time you hear his voice, say, 'Lord, here I am.'" See, God often works in ways that are not the normal to get your attention. Think about this 22nd chapter of Numbers. Here you have Balaam. He's off riding his donkey to do something God told him not to do. You know, and I've had horses, and you know, you're trying to, you know, and we had a burro, and so you're trying to get them to go where they want, and they shy away and they turn away, and Balaam's donkey's trying to, and he gets mad and he starts to whip the donkey to try to get it to where it's go, and it says the donkey turns his head around, looks at Balaam, and the donkey says, "Why have you beaten me these three times?" Now the amazing thing is not just that the donkey speaks, but the Balaam argues back with him. You know, it's like, what would you do if you had a horse or a donkey that suddenly starts talking to you and you argue back, like, "Well, because you're not going where I want you to go." And it's like, there's an angel there waiting to kill you. And, you know, an unusual moment, and Balaam suddenly realizes God's trying to get my attention because my donkey has never talked before, and now he talks again. You know, God uses and puts unusual things in our path from the common and the ordinary to get our attention. So the question is, how do you make room to go explore and to find out what God would want to say to you? When God's revealing himself to you in some extraordinary way, something outside the unusual, will you turn aside like Moses did? Will you go and find out what God might be revealing at that moment? Too many times we don't. We're not willing to take the time to find out. We just say, "Oh, that's interesting," and we go on. But Moses took the time to turn aside and see why the bush was burning but not being consumed. So for you, will you turn aside from the schedule you set for yourself that day? Will you turn aside from the agenda and the checklist of all the things you need to check off because you want to find out what this is about? Will you set your workload aside for the moment to see if God might speak to you? Will you change your focus from whatever you're currently focused upon to let God have a time to speak to you? Whatever sheep you might be tending, will you stop long enough to discover what God wants to reveal? So many of us miss hearing God's call upon our lives because we don't take the time to stop and listen. We go on about tending our sheep and shrug our shoulders and say, "Well, boy, that's unusual," but we never discover that God is in that bush. God is in that moment. We need to be alert for the moments when God wants to appear to us in an unusual manner. Rarely are the moments where God appears something big and bold like a donkey that speaks to you, but it's often in the quiet, unusual moments you might encounter. God wants us to draw near to him. He wants us to take the time to turn and say, "God, what is this?" But he only wants us to do that on his terms, not on our own. So often, you know, well, I got to get this done, God, so go ahead and speak because I'm busy. God wants us to take the time and do it on his terms. Moses draws near to the bush, and as he's drawing near, God says, "Just stop. Don't come closer. Take the sandals off your feet because the place where you're standing is holy ground." We have to realize that, you know, when we're encountering God, we're entering into his very presence. and that this is a holy moment. The moment is holy because God is present there. It's not because of anything different. It's only God's presence that makes it holy. And we need to come into his presence, as we come into his presence, recognize how sacred that is. Many of you will take your shoes off when you're going in to visit someone else, go into their home. You'll take your shoes off at the door so that you don't track all the soil of your journeys into their home. And you don't want to treat their home with disrespect. So you recognize that as you come into their home, you take your shoes off and you leave them at the door and you move about the house in that way. We don't want to treat the moment of being in the presence of God with any less respect. We come into the house of worship, this place here, and we ask God, we pray at the beginning, we ask God to come and be present and to meet with us here, yet many times we come here and we never remove the sandals upon our hearts, the spiritual shoes that we carry within our hearts. And we carry in with us the dirt and the soil of all of the journeys we've been on that have not been of the Lord. And those are things we need to leave behind. We need to remove the sandals from our hearts that carry soil that could desecrate the holiness and the presence of God. We carry with us unforgiveness and bitterness. And sometimes that's towards those who are sitting in the pews alongside us or around us. Take those sandals off. Be in God's presence. Sometimes we track into our worship a spirit of rebelliousness where, you know, it's the attitude of reserving for myself the right to make final decisions and to walk according to what I want and not God's thoughts. Take those sandals off your hearts and step away from them. Be in the presence of God on holy ground. Sometimes our hearts are shod with excuses more than repentance, and we begin to rationalize our minds find excuses to do what our spirit really knows is wrong. Take those sandals off. Be in holy ground. You might carry anger or sinful attitudes, sinful lifestyles, addictions, behaviors, thoughts that are not godly thoughts, all sorts of things that could defile the holy ground of God's presence. Are you willing to take off these sandals and bow in the presence of God? Moses did. You know, as God revealed himself before Moses as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God that had all the promises that had been given to them, then it was that Moses hid his face. So we need to approach God with a submissive spirit, a spirit that recognizes the power and the awesomeness and holiness, the majesty of who God is, and bow down. Psalm 95 says, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his right hand." God wants to meet with us. He wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to speak to us. He'll do whatever he can to get your attention. He desires for us to notice his revelation to us. So I want you to just take a moment, still your hearts before the Lord. Close your eyes. Let your breathing breathe deeply and slowly. Allow your body to relax. Quiet your mind before the Lord. This quiet moment, mentally release the sandals and shoes that are on your heart. Lay down everything. that you carry with you. Bow your heart before him. Open your ears to hear his voice speak to you. God wants us to draw close. He wants us to come close to him. Leave behind the things that would desecrate the moment, the sacredness of being in God's presence. And daily take time to quiet your soul and meet with him. May God speak to your hearts. In Jesus' name. May you lay aside the things that prevent you from drawing close to Christ. May you look for the things where God wants you to see to draw close to him. Find your own bush that's not being consumed. And then open your heart, take the time to go and see what God might do. May the Spirit of God go with you and be upon you in Jesus' name. Amen.